So we are in the book of 1 John. It's at the end of the Bible. I'll just give you a hint because I know some of y'all are already looking embarrassed and you don't know where it is. It's at the end of the Bible. You got your app. You do not need to know where it is. The three letters of John are right before the book of Revelation. And they're little, so you can miss them. The book of 1 John, the third chapter. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're good. The book of 1 John, the letter of John to this church. In the third chapter, we will be reading the first and the second verse. Please attend with me to God's holy word. And it reads, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed." It's so good. I have to read it one more time. I pray you will let me read it one more time. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. Sisters and brothers, God is saying to us this morning, there is more. There is more. Please pray with me. God, we come in all humility before your word and before your presence in this place today. We come in all humility knowing that it's nothing that we did to earn our place in your family, to earn our place at your feet, to earn our status as your beloved children like you told us today in the word. But God, it's all because of what you did. It's all because of how good you are. And we are just so grateful. We're thankful, God, to be in this place and to have the chance to hear from the God of the universe. So God, now we ask that you would get out of the way anything in us that would prevent us from hearing what you might be trying to say to us. God, I ask that you would get me out of the way, that there might be less of me and more of you, so that your word can come forth, not through my words, not because of what I say, but God, because you are moving in this place. We need you so bad, God. We need to hear a word from you. And so we are doing our best to set our spirits, to open our ears, to quiet down everything else so that we can hear you loud and clear. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. And we are expectant to hear your voice. It is the mighty and the powerful in the holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There is more. There is more. Two great questions that religion seeks to answer, beloved, are the questions of identity and destiny. Of the many questions that our faith seeks to negotiate for us, two things we deeply want to know of those questions, two of the main things that religion seeks to negotiate for us, are these questions of identity and of destiny. Who am I and what will happen to me? Identity, the question of identity. What is the meaning of my life? Am I of value and of worth, or am I meaningless? Am I ordinary? Is my life of no import? Who am I? And then the question of destiny. What will become of me? Can I trust that there is a good future ahead for me? Can I trust that there is some purposeful gesture behind the movement of my years, or is it all arbitrary? Or am I an accident of biology that can expect nothing particularly good, and is the only thing I can trust is inevitable decay? Where am I going? This, of course, is the question of the afterlife that religion also seeks to answer. Where? What is our destiny after we leave what we know? Identity and destiny. Some concomitant cosmic questions come out of these personal questions. Some larger questions, of course. Who are we? What is humanity? Is it the crown of creation, stewards of everything on this great earth, or is it an accident of biology? Is it a random blip in the cosmic calendar that will not matter? Who are we? And then, of course, destiny. Where are we going? Is there a greater plan in mind for this universe that we inhabit? Is it going anywhere good? Are we headed in the good direction at all? Or is history a series of flukes and accidents that do not matter and are not taking us anywhere of meaning? Both the global and the personal questions These are the ones that vex us: identity, who we are, and destiny. Our faith seeks to answer these questions for us, and sometimes in Christian discourse, you may have noticed as well that we stop at the question of identity. We stop there. We're pretty good at that. God and Scripture is always telling us about who we are, and we take that in. We take that in, what Scripture says about who we are. We know that we are sinners saved by grace. We get that. We sing. We teach our children. I don't know if this is just Georgia church. We teach our children, I am a C. I am a C-H. Stephanie knows it. That's the solo Stephanie's going to sing next week, right? We are good at the questions of identity. We are better at those. We grasp and we understand who we are in God. We're a little bit better at that. But we don't necessarily believe God about our destiny. We don't necessarily believe God that because of God's great love for us, because we are called children of God, because we are made in God's image, because we are loved, valued, redeemed, and set free, because of who we are, we do not necessarily believe that God is taking us anywhere good. We hear the stories and the verses. We hear Scripture arguing to us that God has something in mind for you. God is not done with you. God has a place that God is taking you, and we believe it for about 3 minutes. John could have been writing to many of us when John says, you are children of God now. What you will be, God is still working on. We read the verses. It was our theme last year. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to offer you hope and a what? Future. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. Plans. I have a destiny in mind for you. We believe it for a little bit. We might even put it on a post-it note and tape it to our laptop. We might even tape it, text it to someone when they are discouraged. But when it comes to our own lives, when we wake up and look in the mirror in the morning, we may be getting there and understanding who we are, but we have a hard time believing that yes in us, yes in our lives, yes in the very person that I am, yes, God has a great destiny in mind. Yes, God is taking me somewhere. And oftentimes we operate, act, live, and think as though this is all that there is. The this is it mentality is what I like to call it. The this is it. What I see when I look around me, yes, I might give lip service to that there is a great future ahead, that things could be different. But what I see when I look around me is what I think it will be. What I see when I look at the medical charts that they show me after the appointment is all I can imagine that it will be. What I see when I look at my family and the same fights are happening that have been happening, and I can't imagine my child growing into the person that I want that person to be and not being caught up in these cycles. I can't imagine. What I see when I look around me is all I believe that there can be. But this question of destiny, what God is making of us, this question of where we are going, of what we can expect, what will yet be for us, it's a heavy preoccupation of Scripture. God is always trying to tell us that God is not done with us yet. We know it through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? What you see is not all that you will get. We know it when God speaks to Hagar in the wilderness. She is in the worst part of her life, and she cannot see how anything could be different. And God comes to her and doesn't just say, Hagar, I love you. Hagar, I value you. God says to you, Hagar, where are you going? She had not been able to conceive that was a possibility, that she could go anywhere because of what she saw around her. But God said, I have a destiny in mind for you. I'm not done with this. I know when you look around, you don't see water. You don't see survival. You don't see anything for your son. But God said to Hagar, you have somewhere that you are going. I am working on your destiny. I will make a great nation of your son. And God said to her, she could not believe it. God said to her, so much offspring that the multitude will not be able to be counted. I'm taking you somewhere. It's a preoccupation of Scripture, and it's a question that our faith seeks to answer. It's also a preoccupation of Jesus. He is always telling us and telling those that we meet in Scripture that there is a destiny, there's something more beyond what they see. Do you remember when he said to Nathanael, Nathanael was all impressed because Jesus had done a little trick and shown that he was omniscient and said, I saw you under the fig tree. And Jesus said, don't be impressed with that. You will see greater things. And then he said to the man at the pool of Bethesda, who could not see a greater future beyond his reality at the time, he was beside the pool, lame for 38 years. He couldn't see anything else. And Jesus said, if you get up and if you walk, you will see that there's something different for you. Jesus is always trying to convince us. He likes to say things like, greater work shall ye do. There's greater, there's more. Wow, but we don't often believe him. There is something called confirmation bias that we often encounter in our lives. Confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is what psychologists describe as a phenomenon when we look around at what we see and what we believe and what we perceive. And even when new information comes in, all we are going to do is confirm what we already see around us. If they say it's a crazy phenomenon that I could get new information, but if it does not confirm what I already see around me, I will not let that information in, and I will not believe that something could be different than what I am already encountering. This is what we see with the man at the pool of Bethesda. 38 years he had a situation that he had grown accustomed to. And he could not see that there was a greater future, that there was something different. And he would, every piece of information, he would take it and he would put it into this logic that would confirm that what I've had for 38 years will be what I have for year 39. It will be what I have for year 40. It will be what I have for 41. This is how it will be. Jesus, of course, had to interrupt him. Many of us know what it is to have this confirmation bias. To be stuck in a situation, maybe it's 38 years, maybe it's 3. But to look around and see, to have the this is it mentality, to look around at the pool that you've seen for 38 years, at the people that you've seen doing their thing, at the legs that you've seen that have not been working, and believe and affirm and conclude that this is it. Many of us know what it feels like to look at the homes that we inhabit every day, and to look at the relationships that have begun to crumble around the edges and to have cracks even in the middle and not know how to get there. And so we assume that this is the way it will be. As I said, many of us know what it is to look at medical charts and the doctor saying, do this, and we say, okay. But in our heads, we're looking around and we're saying, these are the numbers I've been seeing. This is the way it will be. Many of us know what it is to be stuck in a place, to be in a job that we look around and it's not the life that we had in mind. It's not what we wanted it to be, but it's been that way for so long, and we can't imagine anywhere else. And so what do? We get new information, but we confirm what we already know, that the way I've seen it is the way it will be. Does not feel good. We do not feel the way that that would be reflected in those texts that we send our friends when we have this is it mentality. Oh, but it's infectious. It's all around. It's one of the great questions that our faith is seeking to answer, but we don't let it in, and we might say it on the outside, but in the fabric of our psyche, there is something that's often convinced that this is the way it is. Well, it's easier to talk about other people than ourselves. So, and I don't want y'all to get mad at me for getting in your business too much. So instead of talking about our lives and our confirmation biases, let's talk about Peter. Peter was one of these that Jesus had to convince, there is more. Peter was like us in a lot of ways. He was a faithful churchgoer. And he did what most people do when they hear a sermon, what most of y'all are probably doing right now, is sitting there and thinking it's about somebody else. This is what Peter did. Peter was tight with Jesus. They were friends. They were good. And Peter was faithful. He was always listening to the sermons. He was doing what he was a faithful churchgoer. He had his envelope filled out before he got there. He knew everybody's name, and he was there 5 minutes before service. Peter was faithful. Oh, but he didn't see that it could be about him. And he had he was of the opinion that what he saw was all that there was. Now Jesus being the Word of God, Jesus being knowing all things that are in all people, Jesus knowing what was in Peter and what God was still trying to do in Peter, Jesus knew that he was sitting there, like many of us do, hearing the sermon and thinking about all those other people that Jesus must have been talking about. So Jesus said, okay, I got done preaching. I think I want to preach a little bit more. These crowds are coming in on me. Peter, can I borrow your boat? And so they go out into the water, and Jesus sits down and begins to teach. Peter once again is saying, well, it's so sad for those people that this sermon is about. And Jesus knows that he doesn't get, he's not letting it in. He can't see anything more than the life that he has, the life where he is, the boat and the nets and the fish that his life consists of. And Jesus says, okay, since you don't believe me, I'm going to show you. You might remember the story, that those of you who are faithful and who fill out your envelopes before you get to church. You may also know the Bible story where Peter, Jesus says to Peter, okay, I know you didn't believe me, so let's go out a little bit deeper and cast your nets for a catch of fish. And Peter says, Lord, I don't think it's going to work. What I've seen all night is that nothing is coming in. What I've seen in my experience is that this is not working. What I've seen is that there are two or three fish and that's not enough. What I've seen is what I've seen. And so what I expect is what I have already seen. But Jesus says, why don't you just do what I said and see that God is still working on something else? There's more, there's more, there's more. And so Peter finally agrees and he casts the nets. And when he pulls them up, there are so many fish that the nets begin to break. And indeed, the boat itself begins to sink because there's so much that Peter couldn't see. But Jesus had to convince him, there's more. There's more. Many of us are like Peter, sitting around thinking sermons are about other people. Thinking, oh, wouldn't that be nice? And maybe we believe it for a few minutes. But then when we leave out and we go back into our lives that look the way they looked yesterday, and we go back into our homes that have the same dynamic that they had a couple days ago, and we look at the evidence of our lives that looks the way it did before, we begin to believe, oh, that must not be about me. Oh, this must be all there is. What does it do to us? When we have this is it mentality, when we do not believe that there's more, that God is still working on us, what does it do to us? Well, we stay in some places that are too small for us. We stay in some places, and when I say places, let me just help you out. I don't mean only literally places. I mean people, places, and things. I mean spaces that cannot contain you anymore. I mean people that do not get how big you truly are. I mean ideas and ways of thinking that cannot contain the bigness of what God is trying to do in your life. I mean habits that do not deserve to be in your life, not because they're so bad, but because they're not big enough for you. This is what we see with Peter. He was in a boat that was too small for him. Jesus proved it, because when Jesus began to pull the more into his life that Jesus was trying to pull into his life, it made the boat sink because the boat was too small for what Jesus was trying to do in him. This is what we do in our lives. We stay when we don't believe that there's more out there, when we believe it for a second, but then we go out and begin to adapt again that confirmation bias and that this is it mentality. This is what we do. We stay in places, people, places, and things that are not big enough for us. We stay in the jobs that just cannot contain us. We stay in the relationships of the person who cannot value us because they just do not see what the bigness that God is trying to do. And Jesus had to say to Peter, there's more. It's bigger than this boat. It's bigger than this space that you see around you. It's bigger than the fish and the nets. There's more. Jesus said to him, y'all remember, I will make you fishers of people. What I'm trying to pull in your life is so big that you cannot imagine it. But when we cannot imagine it, we stay in places that are too small for us. We refuse to go out and do the bigger things. Can you imagine if Peter had never stepped out of the boat? Can you imagine if he had never followed Jesus? He would have stayed in that boat where he was fishing for the rest of his life and would not have done the things that God was trying to get him to do. Sometimes we get pushed out of boats. We get so stubborn. We can't imagine that there's more, and so we stay in places and people that are too small for us, that do not get us, and we get pushed out. Boat gets a hole in it, and it begins to sink. But some of us need to praise God for some boats that got holes in them, because those boats were not big enough for the first place. Some some of us need, we're sad and we're mourning about jobs that didn't work out and people that didn't get us and left us and things that didn't go the right way. But we need to be praying to God, because if we had stayed in that small boat, we would never have gotten to the cruise ship that God was preparing for us. We would never have gotten into the airplane that God was trying to take us into so that we could fly. But to praise God that sometimes a boat that's too small has a hole in it. And it begins to sink, and we mourn and we cry, but we need to be saying, thank you, God, because I see you telling me there's something bigger. Ah, when we don't believe that there's more, we stay in places. We stay in places. We can stay for decades. We can stay in habits that have no business in your life. Ways of thinking, have things that you're doing. Some of us don't have business spending as much time on social media as we do. God is trying to do something bigger than your Facebook page. God is trying to do something bigger than the half a foot area of your laptop. God is trying to do something bigger, but some of us stay in people, places, and things that are too small for us, and God has to put a hole in the boat to pull us out. With the gentleman at the pool of Bethesda, he was staying on a mat that was too small for him. He couldn't see that there was more, there was more. This is what we do when we can't see that there's more. We don't believe. We stay in places that are not, they're not big enough for us. Another thing that we do when we cannot imagine that there's more, when we cannot see, we don't believe what Jesus is saying when he says, there's more, there's more, there's more for you. Another thing we do, we betray our own dreams. We counteract our own destinies. God is here in the scripture telling us there's more I want to reveal in you, there's more, but sometimes we say we want those things. But in our action, in our thinking, and in our living, we betray even our own dreams. Now, you might hear at church a lot people talking about dreams, and we get this pigeonhole way that we think of dreams, that it's one thing. It's got to be this thing that'll make me famous, and this thing that'll have a noun I can attach to it, and this thing I can write down in a book. But our dreams are a lot of different things. You might dream of a family put back together. You might dream of your role as a mother and how God can break cycles through you and how God can restore a peace and love and happiness in a family through you. That might be a dream that you have. But then what do? We pray for that thing. But then we get up and act in the opposite accord of it. We get up and act in a way that they contradicts even our own destinies. Your dream might be to find love, to find the one that God set out for you, and to walk that path. And you've been wanting it. You say with your mouth that you want it, but we get up and we get down on our knees and we pray for that. But then when we get up, you go home and do the same thing by yourself. As I've said before, I hear, they tell me that before marriage, you usually have to go on a date first. But instead of that, we counteract our own dreams. Can you imagine? We get down on our knees and say things with our mouths to God, but then we stand up and with our hands and with our words and with our habits, we go and do the opposite. Many times we are praying for something, we want it to happen, we dream of it, we have a destiny in mind, but we don't believe enough that there is more to act in accord with it. We don't act we don't act according to the script of what's next. We act according to the script of what's now. It is so hard for us to break that script, and God is saying, there's more. There's more. There's more I want to reveal to you. There's more. It's not there. You have it. You can't see it. I know when you look in the mirror, you see one thing. I know when you look around at your life, you see things being a certain way, but there's more. There's more. There's more. Sometimes we have to get in accord with what God is doing. Now, you might say to me, well, yeah, if I were like Peter, if I'd seen a miracle, maybe I'd believe. You might say, come on, Pastor Willa. It was Jesus, he was there. Jesus is a big deal. He was probably glowing or something. We think he was glowing. He wasn't glowing. He was glowing, and he did this amazing thing and all these fish. I would believe, too, if I had seen a miracle like that. But I haven't seen a miracle like that. Yes, you have. You have absolutely seen a miracle. You cannot tell me that you look back over your lives and you don't see it dotted with the miracles of God pulling you through things. You can't tell me that you don't look back over your life and see that you would not be here. Some of us can say, I would not, if it had not been for the Lord. You can't tell me that you haven't seen a miracle. The miracle of your lungs pumping air, the miracle of everything you've been through not being able to take you down. You cannot tell me you haven't seen a miracle. We have seen some things, and we should know that God is not done with us yet. Why? Because we saw that God wasn't done with us 20 years ago. And 40 years before that, God had more for us. And when we look at where we are, we can see that this is more than where we were. So we have seen enough miracles. We don't have anything. Peter doesn't have anything on us. Wow. So you might say to me, well, but I can't see it. I can't see how it's going to get there. I can't see how it's going to... It's more. I don't know. How can I get there? It's easier to just stay in the life that I have. I know you can't see it. I know. Obviously, you can't see it. I know you don't know how it's going to get. I know you don't have the blueprint. That's because it hasn't been revealed. I know you can't see it. You think other people can... They have the plan. They have the 5-year plan, and they have the evidence. No one can see it because God is still revealing it. I know you can't see how it's going to get done. I know you can't see how she's going to come back to her senses. I know you can't see how the life that you need is going to be there. I know you can't see how you're going to get better. I know you can't see how you're going to get through this. I know you can't see how God is going to make into you those things that you feel harbored in your heart for God to make you. I know you can't see it because it has not been revealed yet. God is still doing it. God has not shown, it's not revealed. This is what he's trying to say to us. He said, I know what you see now, but there's a difference between now and not yet. There's a difference between what you see when you look around you, and God is doing something more. There's more. I know you can't see how to get there. Peter didn't see how he was going to be the one to fish for men. Peter didn't see how it was going to get done. Peter didn't see the blueprint. Peter didn't see what was going to take place, but he didn't need to know how because he knew who. He didn't need to know how it was going to get done because he knew the one. It was telling him, follow me. There's more. There's more. You don't know how, but I'm telling you, you know who. I'm telling you, you hear the same one who spoke to Peter. You hear him speaking to you. The same one who spoke to the man at the pool of Bethesda and said, get up, is the same one that walks beside you every day. But I know it's easy to believe that this is it, to believe that there is no more. Why? Because we don't always see how it's going to get done, but we don't know how when we know who. And I'm telling you, that one is not done. That one is not done. That one is trying to pull more out of this. More out of us, more out of the things that we need. That one is not done with us. What if Peter had never followed Jesus? What if he had never done the things that Jesus said? What if he had not believed that there was more, and he stuck with his confirmation bias, and he stuck with his fishing, and he stuck with the nets because he didn't believe that there was anything beyond it? What if he had never followed where Jesus said and believed what Jesus said? What if the 3,000 people would not have joined the church that day when he gave his testimony? The church would never have been built on the rock that against which the gates of hell could not prevail. Peter would never have known that today there would be buildings named in his honor, not because he was so great, but because of the impact that he made and the life that he lived that was more than what he thought it was going to be. He could never have imagined. You cannot imagine what God is pulling out of you. You cannot imagine what God can fix through you. You cannot imagine how this world can be different. You cannot imagine how your life can be different. Because there is more. And if God has promised us, God has promised us that God is still working, that God is doing something new, that there is more in our lives. Don't we have a responsibility to leave some boats behind? Don't we have a responsibility to leave some boats on the shore? Don't we have the responsibility to get up off some mats that we're on? If we can see, if God is telling us through the millennia, I know you don't see it, but hear my voice. There's more. This is what I want you to do this week. When you look in the mirror and you're trying to figure out, answer these two great questions about who you are, all the messages that we get about who we are, we have to hold on to what God says about who we are. I want you to say with John, I know that I am a child of God. I know that right now, this is what I am. I know that if I don't do another thing, if I don't fix another mistake, if I don't become a better person in any way, I am a child of God. I know that. I know who I am. But God has also told me it has not yet been revealed what I will be. This week, I want you to do that, to say to yourself, I know who I am, and God is still showing me who I will be. I know who I am, but it has not yet been revealed. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered even into my mind what God can do with this. what we need to say to ourselves as we walk this earth. Because this is it mentality will keep us on a map for 38 years. And some of us don't have time to waste when God is trying to bring more out of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Stand to your feet if you could. Grab somebody's hand. Squeeze that hand to let them know that there is more that God has in their lives. And then squeeze the hand of the person on the other side and say, it has not yet been revealed. It has not yet been revealed what you shall be. Squeeze those hands again and let them know, I know you're going through some things. I know this life can convince you this is all you will get. I know this life can be such that 38 years and you just get convinced that this is how it is going to be. But it has not yet been revealed what God is doing in you. I know you can't see it, but God sees it. There's more. There's more. There's more. Come on, squeeze that hand. Let them know there's more. There's more. There's more for you. There's more for you. Yes, this is for you. This is not just about other people. There's more for you. God has more for you. God is revealing more in you. Squeeze that hand. Let them know. There's more for you. There's more for you. There's more for you. Now take that hand. Put it on your own heart. Hear God saying to you, my precious daughter, my precious son, there's more for you. There's more for you. There's more for you. I know you are my daughter, my son now. I love you now. I know what you are now, but it has not yet been revealed what you will be. There's more for you. Come on, tell yourself, there's more for you. There's more for you. There's more for you. There's more. I know you get convinced that it's all there is, but there's more. I am the God who put all this together. I am the one who pulled you out of the places that you were. I am the one who can do exceedingly and abundantly above all you ask, think, or imagine. According to the power at work in you, there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more, God is saying to us. There's more. There's more.